Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We are giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Coming your way Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., streaming live at richarddugan.com. And we put the podcasts on the radio show's page as well as on SoundCloud and iTunes, and we link to our guests, and we'll be giving you that email, or we'll probably give you an email address, but also a website address. Web address so that you can continue your study, your research, your evolutionary process, your transformation. And we certainly hope that you will avail yourself in that regard of what our guests have to offer, because that's why we offer them. We put them out there so that you have the opportunity to transform your life. And it's very interesting. I was given sort of a lesson in semantics between the difference of the words change and transform. This is very interesting, especially going into the context of the power of words. Because according to this person, the word change means that it can change back to what it was. It's kind of like losing weight. You don't want to lose weight. You want to get rid of it. Because if you lose it, somewhere along the way, you're going to find it. Whereas to transform, and again, this is this person's definition, is to transform. It's not going to transform back. You're going to transform going forward and so forth. So anyway, we can play the semantical game if we want, but right now we're going to play the game of sorts. Talking with our guest, not a game, but it's a very serious thing. We're in the health and wellness department of our program, which we're all trying to better. I personally believe that most conditions that I suffer through are temporary, preferably not temporary to the extent that the only temporary solution will be death. No, I believe that a lot of the conditions that we experience throughout our lives can be temporary if we're willing to take the corrective actions. We're willing to do what is necessary to, so to speak, put our bodies back into balance. And we're going to do that today with Kristen Gray McGarry. I got it right the third time. Thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Hello, Richard. Thanks for having me. It's Kristen Grace McGarry.
Grace, we forgot the S there. Kristen Grace McGarry. And that is also the website, folks, KristenGraceMcGarry.com. I'll spell that out for you in just a few moments. But first of all, thank you so much for joining us and for sharing with us the ways in which we can better our lives and get healthier, get balanced, if you will, and so forth.
Well, thank you so much for having me, because that's my passion, is to empower people to find balance in their health and their life and become empowered consumers of their health and their life.
And that's extremely important, because the, I'm just use the term in general, the powers that be, they don't want that to happen, because if that did happen, then they go out of business and then they don't make the money, and which is always the bottom line instead of what it should be when it comes to the health and wellness department. And that is that it should be for the betterment of each individual's health and well-being so that they can go on beyond surviving to thriving in life. And that's what we want to talk about, is getting to that state where we can thrive. Sounds to me, I just kind of hear it in your voice, that you are doing that. You are thriving in your life these days.
I am. I'm very, very blessed on my own personal journey of health, where I am thriving today. I'm currently traveling in Guatemala, living part-time in Costa Rica, traveling around speaking and sharing empowerment with people so that they can experience and transform pain and suffering into vibrancy and vitality. But it wasn't always this way.
I figured that was the case. There are two reasons why people go in the direction that they go, especially when they found their life's purpose. One of them is, like me, they have the capacity, the aptitude for a particular thing, and it just kind of drives them in that direction. And then there's that event or that series of events that happens to them, or what have you, that says, you know what, I finally made it to the end of this dark, dark tunnel, and I know there are others that are doing the same thing. I want to help them the way I was able to help myself.
Yes, I have both of those going on in my life. Ever since I was 2, I always knew I would be some kind of healthcare practitioner. I knew I wanted to help people in this way. It was the very first thought I had. I have a picture of myself in the clinic with a stethoscope taking my grandmother's pulses on her forearm where the Tibetans take pulses. It's very interesting. I always knew that this was my path. And then I did get really, really sick. And it was on healing from that that I discovered which part of healthcare I wanted to do the deep dive into so I could share that with more and more people and empower them to heal.
Mm. Well, we're all suffering in, at one level or another from particular diseases, conditions. I even use that term, conditions. That I'm not ashamed of it or hiding from it. I have been diagnosed with high blood pressure, but I raise this question many times with people who on this program talk about health and wellness. How do I know, and how does the medical community know what my individual, unique, normal blood pressure is? They have the baselines, and then they have the low and the high range, right? And then you have a normal range, and there's a low and a high end to that. Mm-hmm. And I am near the high end of that normal range. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're a type A person, for example, as at least the definition goes, high energy, you're just jumping around doing all kinds of stuff and what have you, and then you end up finding yourself in a very stressful situation, and I'm talking long term. Mm-hmm. I moved to Santa Barbara. I didn't have a problem with high blood pressure before I moved here, mm-hmm. but I've been through 11 fires. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. If I moved from here, I would bet you my blood pressure is going to go down closer to that 120 over 80. That is the optimal norm. But where I'm living, I'm still in the high range, but it's still in the normal range. So I'm thinking, okay. What are your thoughts on the medical community's baseline numbers for our optimal health versus us as individuals?
Mm. I'm so glad you're bringing this up because this is a key part to empowerment. So as I speak to you, the listener, this is what really separates a lot of the Western medical model of what I would call sick care from my definition of health care is the individualized piece, Richard. And you've brought up an excellent point. How do we know, right? What's right for you? And that's one reason I bring this up. Also, I want to speak more to this is because I believe that everyone is a little bit different. Our genes are different. Our environment's different. The way we deal with stress is different. Our nutrition is different. There are so many variables and factors. A comprehensive intake. I spend at least 2 hours with people in the beginning to really figure out what's best for them. How is your body, Richard, speaking to you through this language of a symptom? And what's going on in your autonomic nervous system where it is unable to downregulate and balance itself normally because there's some trauma that's been trapped in your body, in your cells, in your systems. And it's so necessary to do the deep dive and exploration of this. It's not only physical, you brought it up, there are these stressors that have been going on in your environment and you're waiting for the next shoe to drop. This is a nervous system issue, it's a brain issue. And if we were supposed to just throw, say, high blood pressure medication or even natural high blood pressure herbal supplements, it would not really treat the root, mm-hmm. which I think is important. Now, if your blood pressure is dangerously high, we can get it down quickly and then look at the root. You can have it all. We can do all those pieces. But looking at the root of why your high blood pressure is happening, or I'm not even going to have you own it. I'm going to say why the high blood pressure is happening in your system mm-hmm. versus someone else's system is very important to really get to the root of it.
Yeah. And I wouldn't pass it off on to anybody else. You know, it's not something that you want to share necessarily.
Right.
But it's it just seems like, you know, there are situations where I've actually stopped going to an ophthalmologist in particular. I may go back to her in the near future. I lost my sight in my left eye to glaucoma, which is a raising of the pressure of the eye, which crushes the optic nerve and reduces your vision to where, you know, I have none. But my vision was 2400 from birth, so it wasn't the eye that I counted on. It wasn't, you know, a dominant force in my life. I focused on my right eye, and I still have that. I had a lens implant in 1996, and I'm driving now. I wasn't before. So, but the reason I stopped going to her, at least for the time being, was the fact that she refuses to acknowledge the connection between the high blood pressure and the eye pressure. And these systems, unlike an automobile, these systems are not sealed, isolated from one another, whereas in your car, your fuel, your oil, and your radiator, as well as your windshield wiper fluid systems, they are pretty much sealed off from one another. They have an impact on one another, but they don't flow, whereas in the human body, you have fluids that are changing. For example, the normal process, if I'm understanding over the years of research in this, that in the eye, you have fluid that passes in and out of the eye itself. And then, of course, the waste product, sometimes it's cataract material. It gets pushed out through those little tiny little holes and then is flushed out of the system. That, of course, what happens is, of course, those little holes get blocked up or what have you because of the pressure. Mm-hmm. And now that stuff can't pass out. And now the fluid builds up in the eye and so forth. There is a connection to all of these, in all of these systems, isn't there?
There absolutely is. There absolutely is. And that's one reason why I don't associate the body to the metaphor that it's a machine. I prefer to look at the metaphor that the body is a garden. And it needs certain nutrients and sunshine and some tending and maybe some weed pulling here and there. But it's dynamic in nature and it's ever changing. And all of the parts of that garden and all of the variables that help it grow or die are very much connected.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are dealing in particular today as we talk with a specific area. You have a work that's out right now called The Ketogenic Cure. Now, I've heard a lot about the area of the body that this focuses on. You know, I keep hearing about different areas, just like I hear and we all hear about these miracle foods. You know, for in 1 week, it's this one that's got everything that you could just eat this and you're going to be healthy the rest of your life. And then next week, there's another one. And the same kind of thing, if you just take care of this part of the body, then it just takes care of everything. But again, it's like you said, the body is a garden and every part of it needs to be tended. But in this case, you're talking about a lot of the bacteria, if I'm understanding this correctly, that because there are certain bacteria we absolutely need in our systems. But a lot of people, when they hear bacteria, they think of the stomach, the gut, the intestines, and so forth. Is that the area that we're going to focus on here right now in terms of trying to optimize our health, to bring our bodies back into, this is an interesting term, and maybe there's a new one that you've derived, homeostasis?
Bacteria is a piece. So my book is coming out soon. It's called The Ketogenic Cure, Heal Your Gut, Heal Your Life. And it does focus on the gut because the book it has a focus of preventing, healing, and halting autoimmune challenges. And about 75% of immune function comes from the gut. So when someone has autoimmune issues or a full-blown autoimmune disease or autoimmunity, which is before you get the diagnosis of a disease, you can have low-level autoimmune challenges without a diagnosis yet. All of these things can only happen if your immune system is out of whack. And we look at working with the gut to modulate or balance the immune system. It's one of the best approaches that science has found thus far. Now, Western medical science says there is no cure for autoimmune diseases, and I just disagree. And I've seen anecdotally in a clinical setting, people reverse conditions. And what I'm seeing in functional blood chemistry analysis, tying it back to your original question, the markers, the reference ranges on your lab are derived from a large pool of mostly sick people. Whereas in functional blood chemistry analysis, our reference ranges are based on health and wellness. So they're very different and they're tighter, and we can find things often 5 to 10 years before someone may get a diagnosis. So in this book, I go into all of those details and talk about gut repair. Bacteria having a healthy gut microbiome of diverse bacteria is very important, and it's only one piece.
So where do we start with this in terms of where each of us is at this particular point? What's the first step in determining what we need to do to get to, I don't know what the exact term is, to clean up the gut?
Right. Oh, that's a great question. And because you really get, and I'm guessing your audience really gets how important individualized care is, there is no real general statement. I'm going to throw out some things that in practice I keep seeing with my patients, but I want to make sure everyone's really clear that I have a very individualized approach, a very patient-centered approach. And so what I'm going to say here may or may not work for everyone because of that. Generally speaking, almost everyone has some kind of gut disharmony right now. And I talk about why in my book. Even if we're growing our own food, even if we're drinking wild spring water, even if we say we have a zero stress life, there are so many other factors that are impacting our gut, the air we breathe, what was going on with our mother, and what exposures to chemicals and toxins was she exposed to when we were in utero, because things can pass the placenta barrier and we can have them. There's lots of interesting studies on newborns and toxicity that they come into the world with already from their moms. Were we breastfed? That gives us a good foundation for gut health. If we weren't breastfed, or if mom was on certain medications or had illness during that, that can impact our immune function. So what I like to do is assess people right where they are and look at all of the dozens of factors that may have impacted their gut health. And then it guides me. Symptoms also guide me as a language of the body. So is someone having autoimmune issues? And I can find it in a special lab that no one else can see yet because it's not a full-blown diagnosed disease. So all of these factors guide where we go. In general, nutrition is huge. If people are eating processed foods, if they're eating gluten and dairy and corn and soy and food colorings and sugar, then I promise the gut is off. It's just how it is.
Because it's not being given the elements that it needs to build and rebuild the cells, et cetera, in terms of keeping the system running properly. It's like we took our car once, it was a diesel vehicle, and we took our vehicle to a car wash where they also fueled it up, and we told them diesel. What'd they put in it? They put gasoline. $500 later, which they, of course, paid for, the vehicle was completely cleaned out, and they got it all repaired, and we were back in business. But, you know, you can't put gasoline in a diesel-powered vehicle any more than you can put junk. There's that computer analogy. A lot of people don't remember it, but it goes back to the 90s, if not before. Garbage in, garbage out.
It's true. And to elaborate on this piece that's so important, Richard, is it's not only what you eat, it's also how you digest and absorb it. And if you haven't been eating well, or you've been in a toxic environment, I was born in Chicago. It has some of the highest mercury content in the air of any city in the United States. By golly, I had mercury toxicity and had a lot of Western tests that proved that, and symptoms. So even though we had a garden and I was eating well, I still had other challenges. And so my body's ability to break down the food properly and absorb it properly was also limited. So even if I was eating organics, I wasn't getting the full value of them. So all these pieces need to be assessed so that someone can take appropriate action and take the guesswork out of their healthcare.
Well, and that is to me the biggest part of it, is the taking the guesswork out, because for so long we've been told what we were supposed to do, and we trusted the powers that be that they were telling us the truth. And now we're getting to the point where we're beginning to realize that we weren't quite told, you know, what we should have been told, you know, that. And a lot of times it's because the education they received was deficient of, in particular, from what I understand, not that I've been to medical school, but they didn't get a lot of coursework on nutrition in particular, but also maybe on individuality. And of course, there's another area that I wish that they would give more attention to, and that is when to say when, because the body does not. It doesn't. And you correct me if I'm wrong from your perspective, but the body is not going to run forever. Eventually, it's going to wear out. But until that day that it does, we should be able to. It's like my father told me about my car. He says, you know, when I started driving, he says, now remember, as long as you do the regular maintenance, change the oil, lube, and filter, and so forth, change your air filter, blah, 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 just the basic stuff, that thing's going to run forever. And then I got a Volvo, and I was told before it even hit 100,000, you haven't even broken it in. And now it's at 140. And they still say, hey, man, you got another 100, 200,000 miles to go as long as I take care of it.
Yes.
I've got to live to 100 years of age, my friend, and because my great-grandmother lived to be 100, and I always told people I was going to outlive her. And that was when she was 95. And I said, and she's making it really hard. I've got 40, at least 42 years to go. And I sure as heck do not, you know, want to be up on a rack having parts replaced because, you know, I want to be able to do the right things.
Yes. And you bring up another really great point about the system of education of our current Western medical doctors, physicians. I really believe that most physicians have good hearts, and they are in the practice of medicine, the field of medicine, to help people, because they want to contribute in this way. And the challenges come in the system, the education, and they're not being given perhaps a comprehensive education. They're being more informed by the pharmaceutical industry and the insurance industry at no fault of their own. And unfortunately, it's their responsibility now to get out there and continue researching and reading journals that do present healthy, scientifically proven alternatives such as nutrition and herbs, certain foods that we do know the chemical structures are, we do know how they're impacting the body, we do know how to use food as medicine. And that's one reason why I love being on healthcare teams with other Western medical physicians and other integrative and alternative healthcare providers so that patients get the best of all the worlds and the best of all of our geniuses, because we all do have an important piece of the health puzzle to solve with people.
And solving that, again, can be a challenge because there are so many people giving us information. So that's kind of where I'd like to go into next, and that is trusting the source of information. Because we get a lot of conflicting information. I have to tell you that my present wife, who is my second and hopefully last to the end of time, if you will, she went through a series of diagnoses, surgery, and chemotherapy back in 2001. Now, I wouldn't wish chemo on anybody. I don't care what your problem is, what your disease is. I wouldn't wish that stuff on anybody after what I saw. But she spent 6 months going to the same doctor saying, look, there's something wrong. And he constantly was telling her, we don't find anything. We don't find anything. We don't find anything. And she would come home crying because she still had the problem and there was no resolution. Finally, after 6 months, and God knows if they had done the ultrasound in the first month of those six, it probably would have been a cyst. And turned out it was, a rare form of fallopian tube cancer. So then she had to go through all this other stuff. But she persisted. I mean, that was the thing. She did not give up. She just kept pressing and pressing. Finally, they did the ultrasound. They found it. Boom, 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 boom. And it's like, maybe she should have gone to another doctor within that first month, because the first doctor just didn't care, or he saw what he wanted to see, or I don't know what the problem was there. But again, how do we discern? How do we sift through and filter and in an appropriate way, so that we are taking that proactive action to care for ourselves, because it is our response. My health isn't your responsibility, Kristen.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'd love to share a couple resources and solutions with you, because this is so important. I love that you bring up the word discernment, because that's really what we're talking about here. And I like to educate and empower people about their bodies. And had I been able to have a conversation with your dear wife, who is clearly a survivor and meant to be here on the planet, congratulations. I know it's not an easy path. And I want to honor both of you for walking this and coming out the other side. You have a lot to share with other people because of that. And had she spoken to me in that first month, she would have gotten more referrals and empowerment. And I trust her doctor was doing the best that that doctor could do with the limited tools that doctor was given. And there's more. It's only part of the picture. So one resource I'd love to share with you, the listener, would be I have a free download on my website. I was asked to write a chapter in a book that's called Ask Coach by Betsy Chassie. And there's about 17 of us, 18 of us in this book. And the health section part, my chapter, is on how to interview your doctor, what questions to ask and what answers should you be receiving so that you know this is a good fit. And if it's not, find another physician. Create your healthcare dream team. I want to see more and more physicians working with other docs to give the best of the best to their patients. I don't want to pretend that I know everything, because I certainly don't. And I can help fill in the gaps for a lot of people after they've been to certain Western doctors that have, they're limited by a standard of care, mm-hmm. which is why we're not treated as individuals.
Yeah.
It's just part of the system. And to really know what the options are, to really understand, hey, I have a choice in my healthcare. Please don't give all your power away to me or to your physician or to your chiropractor or to your acupuncturist or your naturopath. We're not here to take your power. We're here to give you power. That's how I see it. And that's in the form of information, support, encouragement, empowerment. And if you, the listener, are committed, Richard, just like your wife was committed to not giving up and going back and saying something's not right, it may just be time to go to another resource or two or three or four resources and not give up, to stay committed until you get the answers that I believe you deserve, which is one reason I practice what and how I practice, is because I had similar challenges. I went misdiagnosed and undiagnosed for years, and I was miserable, suffering, and I knew something was wrong, and no one could put their finger on it. Oh, just go see a shrink. It's all in your head. Well, it wasn't. I had an autoimmune disease, and no one knew how to test for it at the time. No one was talking about it. So I had to figure it out myself. And I now want to save you, the listener, from that struggle. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do it on your own anymore. You don't have to figure it all out on your own. We can put those puzzle pieces together to create the ginormous 5,000 gorgeous puzzle piece picture of your health, so that you have the details that inform a conscious choice.
Two things. One is, now we're going to test my geography. You're down in Central America, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Right
now. Okay. I got that.
I don't live in Guatemala.
I understand.
I'm visiting here a few days.
I understand. But obviously you travel around the world. Yes. I'm curious as to the people you come across in your travels outside the United States and their health and wellness and the care that they receive from their respective practitioners.
It's a great question, because I do travel a lot and I do see a lot of different kinds of people, and it depends on the country and the culture. There are more cultures outside of the United States that honor food as medicine. When I studied Asian medicine, when I was in Oriental Medical School and learning more about Chinese medicine and Korean medicine and Japanese medicine and how herbs and foods were used as medicine, it's a huge part of the culture. They're cooking with herbs just every day to stay vibrant and healthy. One of the reasons that tradition has lasted, it has very interesting roots, Richard. Back hundreds of years ago, in small villages outside of main cities in Asia, there would be a village doctor. And that doctor was paid only if everyone in the village was kept healthy. Wouldn't our Western medical system be so different today if doctors only got paid if all of their patients remained healthy?
Yeah. Huge.
Right? So that tradition carried over in some Asian cultures, where it's common now to have a lifestyle that is more based on health and wellness. They're not only treating symptoms when they arise, they're living and eating a preventative lifestyle and nutritional plan. Whereas in America, we tend to be more of what I call a sick care system versus a health care system. We're often treating or encouraged to treat symptoms. And we're not often being educated as informed as consumers. We're misinformed often. We're not being educated about how to prevent things. If people only understood what sugar did to the immune system, Why would they be eating sugar every day or feeding it to their children? It's so disruptive and damaging. And if you look at how diabetes, both type 1 and 2, and I understand type 1 is supposedly autoimmune, and it's on the rise. And there's a reason why our immune systems are wonky. There's a reason because our mom's immune systems were even wonky. And there's a reason why type 2 diabetes and obesity is through the roof in our beautiful country. And it's 100% preventable. Type 2 diabetes does not need to exist in the United States. But because of our processed food industry and our fast food market, and the cultural drive for quick fixes and quick meals and quick outcomes, we are being led down a road of illness and dysfunction and imbalance. And there is a way out. We can take the fork in that road and begin shifting our life and our nutrition and our mindset, which is one reason why I appreciate the shows you do, is because you're planting these very, very important seeds for people. You're giving them an opportunity to take that fork in the road and do it differently.
Yeah, we're doing the best we can in that regard, and I certainly hope that folks are availing themselves of the opportunity to go to your website and others that we link to as well and listen to these interviews that folks sometimes go beyond the normal radio broadcast 50 minutes. And so we encourage you to go to our website, but also to our guest's website. And we also encourage you to go to today's guest, Kristen. Kristen is going to be with us for our next segment here, and we encourage you to go to her website, which is KristenGraceMcGarry.com. That's KristenGraceMcGarry.com. A lot easier, just go to the link on our website. You can just click on that and boom, you're there. You can take a look at the work she's doing. The coaching code, we'll talk about that when we come back as well as the ketogenic cure, and we are going to talk more about all of this stuff here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay with us.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. I'm here with Kristen Grace McGarry, and we are talking about your health, my health, her health, our health collectively. That's another aspect that we can get into as well. But, you know, I'm also hearing and sort of in the subtext, although you've not stated this, and I'm very curious about your opinion on this, because what I'm getting especially from non-MD practitioners that I have on this program, and some people who are just trying to help others with information, is that it's not going to make a hill of beans worth a difference whether we have universal health care or single-payer health care or whatever it is that you want to call the Affordable Care Act or whatever the alternative is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because it's all still part of the same system.
I'm not so sure about that. I think access is a problem. It is a challenge right now. And my opinion is that some kind of universal healthcare system could shift the issue, the challenges we face around accessibility, as well as the current models of insurance and how the insurance company and the pharmaceutical company dictates a lot of what's being currently taught in medical schools. If the system began to change, and a system change would be universal health care, and insurance companies were no longer such a big part of that puzzle, then the information being distributed in medical school may also have the opportunity to shift. The standard of care may have an opportunity to shift if that part of the system was disrupted right now or in the near future and shifted. And I do believe that that would positively impact patient care and outcomes.
Well, there's no question something needs to be done, because when we have let's just say we take out of the equation metabolic imbalance, and we get our systems back in balance. You know, sometimes you fall off the bicycle, you fall off the ladder, things happen in the house, you burn your hand on the stove for whatever reason. Accidents happen. Things like this, mm-hmm. they do. And so we need these practitioners to be there for us to take care of those kinds of conditions that come about, you know. And mm-hmm. I get more frustrated than dive into the pain when something like that happens, because it's like, oh, great. Now, for at least the next couple of days, I'm not going to be able to do the things that I want to do. You know,
yeah.
I'm now being inconvenienced. I don't know, maybe not necessarily by my own stupidity, because, again, like I said, stuff like that, things, they do happen.
Me too.
You know, mm-hmm. so we do need to have somebody there who can, you know, set the bones and put the cast on, and, you know, until we get the wonderful futuristic devices that will just automatically knit the thing together right there as you sit on the doctor's table, and, you know, and so forth. You know, and maybe someday that will come, but we're not there. We're here, and this is what we have to deal with. And I guess I get a little concerned sometimes, Kristen, about some of the scientific breakthroughs in medicine. And I always ask, I always put this question forward on some of these things, like genetics in particular, because, you know, you talk about all this stuff and then they say, well, you know what, we can just adjust the genes, you know, just make some changes in the DNA and voila, it's gone. The question I always put forth with something like that is, just because we can, does that mean we should?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great question when we begin the conversation around genetics. It's a great question. I don't know that I have an answer for you, but what I would speak to is a field of science called epigenetics. And this is where you, the listener, have power and you can take action now. Epigenetics, this field of science, has to do with how the environment around you, how your nutrition, how your thinking impacts your current genetic expression. So genes get turned on and they get turned off. And this can change very quickly, actually, depending on your environment. So Richard, like you had these traumas with the fire, you and many people, and that can be enough of a trauma to turn a bad gene on and cause a disease process to begin or a genetic mutation to occur. And that can also be undone when the nervous system is properly dealt with. And clearing that particular trauma from the tissue and down-regulating the autonomic nervous system.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to ask you if there are, because you make reference to, of course, our nervous system and so forth. There are certain parts of our anatomy that you can't go in and, again, like the skeletal structure, you can reset the bone. With muscles, torn ligaments and so forth, you can kind of stitch those back together, and eventually they would hopefully heal back together. But there are certain parts like the brain and the nervous system and so forth that, you know, we're getting better at dealing with those and treating them. But are there more natural or homeopathic kinds of things, or is that going to come about through rebalancing the chemicals, the chemistry, yeah, of the body?
Mm-hmm. There absolutely are, and in terms of even bone mending, we have things today that can support very, very fast bone mending. It does not need to take 8 weeks. I've seen it happen in clinical settings. I've seen it happen with a previous martial arts teacher There are herbs, there are homeopathics, there's something called neural injection therapy and perineural injection therapy that also supports the downregulation of the nervous system, the releasing of trauma from the nervous system, and allows for very, very fast and efficient and comprehensive healing. So we actually have things. Neural therapy is incredible for the autonomic nervous system and the brain. Perineural therapy is amazing for the nervous system and all pain, or most pain, that's neurogenic in nature. It treats almost instantly. I have a very, very high success rate of working with people who have pain. And after one session, often they go from, say, a 7 or 8 or 10 even to a 0 in one session. So we do have access to things that aren't even woo-woo. I mean, the neural therapy and perineural therapy is very much based in Western science. And it's very powerful, and very few Western doctors. There's only about 2,000 people, doctors trained in perineural therapy around the world. And it is amazing. So we do have things. We also have advanced cranial sacral therapy, somato-emotional release. Bruno Chickley has created a whole system of healing the brain as well. That's profound. We have access to amazing tools now. I think it's a very exciting time for us to be exploring, and for you, the listener, to be exploring, because we have so many credible modalities that really deal with both the root and the symptoms.
But these modalities that will then treat the root and not the symptom are going to do absolutely no good if the individual doesn't make some changes in the way in which they live and in the way in which they eat and the way in which they drink, etc.
True and partial, I would say. So yes, people do need to accept responsibility, to be an active participant in your life. Of course, that's where commitment comes in again. And if someone falls off a ladder or burns their hand on the stove or breaks a bone, we do have ways of working with that. We also want to get to the underlying circumstances around that injury, because I've found thus far in 100% of people, I can find it, if someone has a trauma, there's an underlying root issue to why that happened. There is what I would call a gift in strange wrapping. I have a very good friend of mine who says, always find the diamond in the dog doo-doo. that there is a diamond there.
Yeah.
And there is a gift in strange wrapping for that trauma to occur. And it's true and partial. So yes, we want to treat the symptom. We want to treat the root. We want to treat the underlying root. We want to treat the whole being. I see people as healthy and whole individuals, even when they have symptoms. We are not our labels of disease patterns or imbalances or traumas or injuries. We're whole individual, beautiful humans. And I like to translate the language of symptoms in people's lives as stressors and traumas, and also symptoms in their physical bodies, into something they can understand and walk away with empowerment and learn very practical tools to implement immediately in and around their health and their life.
You're going right up an alley that I am glad you're going up, and I want you to talk more about this in reference to a conversation I've had time and time again on this program about the subject of the power of words.
Yes, it's so important. And if you talk to anyone who is familiar with neuro-linguistic programming, for example, or Erickson hypnotherapy, for example, the power of language is remarkable, and it impacts our unconscious, our subconscious. And that runs about 95% of our lives. You know, so often we're on autopilot, Richard. Mm-hmm. And we're on autopilot when we drive our cars, but we're also on autopilot in most of the day throughout our working life and family life and cooking life and watching TV life and playing a video game and checking email. We're on autopilot, checking our Facebook. And it's important to go to the unconscious and work at that level as well. And one way to do that is by working with our language. Again, it's partial. Because if we just say a bunch of affirmations, they may or may not actually work with our unconscious because they target a little more of the conscious mind. So we need to use tools to get to our unconscious. One of my favorite tools is body mapping or the lifeline technique or somato-emotional release, Erickson hypnotherapy. There are a lot of really good tools out there that help us get to the unconscious and working with our language. And I'll give you one more fun example I've been personally playing with after I took a body mapping course with Carol Maureen Fisher. In this body mapping, she pointed out how people often use the word no, K-N-O-W. And our unconscious hears it as N-O. And she was inviting us to replace that word with words like I understand instead of I know. Or I believe instead of saying I know, because we keep saying I know, I know, I know, I know. And it's programming us and it's teaching our children things. And it's not actually accurate and authentic to use language that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I've been playing with the I understand and I believe and I contemplate instead of I know, mm-hmm. I know, I know. And that's been one fun thing. There's a lot of neuro-linguistic programming we could, you know, dive into around language and how important our words are. Words are our spelling of our words is like casting a spell. It's, you know, it has power, it has meaning, and are we using them responsibly? And how can we catch ourselves feeding our own unconscious words that aren't actually true to what we want to create in our lives or in alignment.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. The reason why this subject in this regard, as we're talking, is so important is because I've been challenged on a number of occasions when talking about, and I'm not going into this subject, but just about talking about the whole process, the political process, and how, you know, I was watching one campaign many years ago that, you know, some words were said and it undermined another guy's campaign and da 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 da. And I said, I don't understand. According to the news reports, that was resolved. Da da da. Well, you know, he was just saying that so that, you know, he could get. I said, yeah, but words have power, and he meant what he said. Well, no, it's just politics. And I thought, no, it's not, because he said them with the intent to achieve a given result, and in this case, it happened. So it's not just politics. And so when I hear the kinds of words being used and bantied about today in our time, okay, I just think, oh my gosh, what's being created with those words?
Well, you probably experienced this with your wife when she was struggling going back to her doctor many times. Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
And these words, and what does that really mean? And what are you, the listener, being told about or dismissed or invalidated? Do you feel heard by your healthcare provider? Do you feel received and understood by your, whether it's Western medicine or integrative functional healthcare or your acupuncturist or your massage therapist, to look at your values around your health and wellness and your lifestyle and find healthcare practitioners that are in alignment with your values and will also challenge you. I think if it's all easy peasy and everyone's just appeasing, yeah, or appealing to you rather than bringing up the difficult questions of, say, addiction or negative thinking or overworking and stress, or a relationship that's abusive, or a food addiction where someone is compulsively using food to suppress emotions. If someone isn't able to bring these up to you in a loving and authentic way, I want to find someone else. I want to be slightly challenged to my edge of comfort so that I can continue to grow and heal. And the language we're using is a piece of that puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know too that when it comes to the discussion of, for example, the law of attraction, the phrases that we might use to verbalize what it is that we want are extremely important. I guess the best example that I heard was, I don't want, and then whatever it is that you're saying you don't want, you're going to end up getting because it's that last phrase or word, the thing that you don't want, that you're going to end up getting. I don't want debt. Well, debt is the word that the universe hears, kind of thing. I want optimal health. I want to be able, as I said earlier, I would love to be able to live to 100 or whatever it happens to be, doing this, continuing to inform people about the fact that there are folks such as yourself around the world who are making a difference. And so if you've been thinking about it, do it, because it can be done. And then on, October 6th of 2064, When I'm 104, I sit down in the chair. I say, "I'm done." That would be an interesting experience, to say the very least. But to be able to still be active, Kristen, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program and for giving us so much time. It's greatly appreciated, especially all the way down there in Central America, in Guatemala. And I hope that you continue to have safe travels.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Richard. And I'm excited to have had this time with you and your listeners.
I also extended to you an invitation, should you find yourself in the central part of California, as opposed to Central America. We'd love to have you in studio to continue this conversation about health and wellness and discussing even some very specific, maybe some remedies and so forth, or at least treatments that people might consider, and certainly go to your website as well. So, yeah, if you're ever here, we'd love to talk to you further on another program.
Great. I would love it. Thank you.
Before we wrap up, I do have three final questions for you, but I want to let our listeners know that there is more to this interview, so you'll need to go to the radio show's page or SoundCloud or iTunes to listen to the entire interview, and we hope that you will do just that. And also, if you'd like to support this radio broadcast, it's always greatly appreciated. There's a PayPal link on the homepage as well as the mission page if you'd like to read more about what we are all about here at Tell Me Your Story. And PayPal is a way that we do that. We also accept energetic exchanges of whatever they might be, folks. So any support that you can give us, if you like what we're doing, you like the folks that we have on, and I'd also love to hear from you. Email address is tmys@richarddugan.com. That is for Tell Me Your Story, tmys@richarddugan.com. And a reminder to go to Kristen Grace McGarry's website, which is, of course, her name, all three of them, anna.com, and we will be linked to them. First of the three questions is, who is Kristen Grace McGarry?
Well, I'm a health and lifestyle alchemist. I'm a licensed acupuncturist and certified in functional medicine, functional healthcare. I'm a homeopath, and I am certified in using neural therapy and perineural therapy to empower people with pain to live a free, painless life. And there are many, many tools in my toolkit that I offer people on an individualized basis. And I'm an author and a speaker. I'm a mother and a tango dancer. And
wow.
Yes.
The forbidden dance. But be that as it may, what is it that you hope to or want to do or to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
Mm. I love that you asked that. I use the word desire rather than want because, you know, we were talking about these nitpicking words, you know, that what the words we use are important. And when we want something, we're going to spend the rest of our life wanting it. Wanting it does not mean we're going to get it and doesn't mean we're creating it. Now, if we desire something, then it opens up an opportunity to actually get that which you desire. So just to play with some language there, I have a passion for empowering people to heal on all levels, a passion for alleviating suffering on the planet, and inviting people to become informed and empowered consumers of their healthcare. It's something that just fuels me. It's something that lights me up. And when I say, for example, have the opportunity to do a deep, deep dive with someone with a comprehensive functional blood chemistry panel and maybe 4 one-on-one VIP days with me where we are very, very deep dive into someone's mind, body, and spirit and comprehensive healing and very individualized, customized care, we can, I just get so excited to hold the container for people to really transform their pain and suffering into pleasure, into freedom, into things that they then want to share with the world.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
Well, I think I just spoke to that. Actually, my life's purpose is to empower people, to heal on all levels, to really pay attention to the details of their mind, body, and spirit. How are they moving in time and space? How are they offering themselves sustenance for their physical body, their emotional body, their mental body? How are they showing up in relationship? How does someone's health inform how they show up in relationship, how they run their business? In working with successful entrepreneurs and even single moms, I've noticed that the more empowered someone becomes, the more successful and able they are to move forward and have a greater impact on the world and enjoy their life more fully. And to me, that's a big part of my life's purpose, is to educate and empower and offer people the opportunity to heal completely, to resolve their suffering so that they can show up in the world in their fullest, highest selves.
Well, Kristen, again, thank you so much for giving us not only so much time, but also so much information. And again, we do look forward to having you back on the program in the near future to continue this conversation. This is really great stuff, and we need to hear more of it. And the more that we hear it, the more likely that we are to pursue it, to optimize our health so that we can stop the pain, stop the suffering, stop the surviving, and start thriving in the life that we have.
Absolutely.
Again, thank you. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love, Talal.